Morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's wonderful to see each one gathered here, and we do welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we do pray that the Lord will richly bless each one as we're in his house today. Those that are visiting with us, we do give you a very warm and a very special welcome. It's lovely to see as well the Reverend Mercer and his dear wife, and we welcome them, and it's always good to have fellowship with our brother and sister. I do remember the services as they continue through the week, and we do remind you of our evening service, which will be online again this evening at 7 p.m. Both on YouTube and on Facebook. And we do commend it to you and even ask you to share it to let others know. We're coming to the topic this evening of missing a Christ, and that'll be on at 7 p.m. Then Monday through to Friday, can we remind you of our holiday Bible club? And we encourage you to be much in prayer over these meetings. We've recorded three of them so far, and they're ready to go, and even as the remainder of them are recorded over these next number of days. But Monday through to Friday, 7 p.m. each night, and we're thankful even for those that have shared it. Thankful as well it's on the local primary school's website, our Facebook page as well, letting the parents know. And we do pray that the Lord will bless and see fit even to use these means to reach the children of this area. Then for our mission board as well, FPC Kids are having another Bible club again this week at 10 a.m. If you go to the FPC Kids either on YouTube or Facebook, and each morning 10 a.m. Christina Logan, Robert McConnell and Joyce Walsh will be having those Bible clubs as well. So parents, there's plenty for your children to be doing over these next couple of days, both in the morning and the evening. Wednesday night at 8 p.m. is our prayer meeting and our Bible study here in the church. And we do encourage you to make that effort to come out and to study God's Word and even to pray together. We're returning again this week to Hebrews 4, the verse 16, as we continue to consider the throne of grace. Then can we say immediately after the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, if we could have a meeting with the Sunday school teachers and also with the children's workers as a session. We had a session meeting last Wednesday night, and we've been having some discussions about the autumn program in relation to the children's work. And so as we say, Sunday school teachers, children's workers, if you could remain behind on Wednesday night, please, for a short season. Then the services next Sunday at the usual times, 11:30 and 7 p.m. And God willing, unless things dramatically change, it is the desire of the session that we recommence our evening service in church as well. And we highlight that to you, that the services next Sunday, both of them, God willing, will be in the church at 11:30 and 7 p.m. At this time, the prayer times before the services just continue as they are, and we do encourage you to pray as you come to church, and even spend some moments in your car before you come into the service to pray for the worship of God's Word. Can we also say that we've had to take the decision to postpone our two-week gospel mission, which was to take place in September with Dr. McRae. It has been postponed and put back until September 2021. We just felt as a session, with the way things are, and obviously with the social distancing and even trying to get other people into the church, it would be very hard at this time. And so we've been in contact with Dr. McRae, and he's willing to come in September of next year. But we still want to do something this year. And so what we're going to do, and what the Reverend McRae is going to do on our behalf, is the weekend of the 18th, 19th and 20th. That's Friday the 18th, Saturday the 19th, and Sunday the 20th of September. He is going to send us three videos of mission meetings, and they're going to be uploaded to YouTube and to Facebook. And we're going to have some adverts done again, put on Facebook over the next couple of weeks. And we do encourage you to share them and even pray over these meetings, that even in our own homes and others as well in the area will watch in and hear God's precious word. Now, just in relation as well, just a couple of things in relation to the COVID. As you're aware, it's now mandatory in shops and public places to be wearing face masks as of last Monday. But our presbytery was in contact with the government of our land, and we just ensured that because we are social distancing, therefore, it is not mandatory. And we can confirm that you do not have to wear face masks in church, but as we've said before, if anyone wishes to, you are free, and it is allowed, and it is up to yourself, your liberty, whether to wear them or not. And can we just remind you as well, whenever you're coming in and out of the church, keep the social distancing and even keep the hallway clear. If you want to talk, that's brilliant, have fellowship together, but unfortunately at this time, if you could go outside of the building first and then have that fellowship together. We're going to commence now our worship, and we're turning in our hymn books to the page 143, and it's the paraphrase number 2. The page 143, the paraphrase number 2. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. The paraphrase number 2, please. Let's stand as we sing. His throne even this morning. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we bow before thee, coming into thy most holy presence, in and through that name that is above all other names, the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, once again for this thy day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank thee, O God, afresh that our we have that revision even in our minds and our hearts, that our Lord and Savior is alive. We do rejoice that death could not hold him. We do rejoice that the tomb could not hold him, but rather that stone was rolled away to show all of the world that the Lord Jesus Christ is risen and he is alive forevermore. We thank thee, O God, this day that we live because he lives, and we live in the realization of his victory. We thank thee for the victory of the cross. We thank thee for the victory over the tomb. And because of his victory, because the captain of the host had wrought that victory in our behalf, oh, we rejoice that each and every child of God, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear in life, and we have nothing to fear in death, because our Savior is there on our behalf. We thank and praise thee for the opportunity once again to come to thy house. We thank thee, O God, for this place where we can gather together to worship and to praise our Lord and our Savior. We thank thee for the freedom which we have to come here. We thank thee, O God, that we have thy precious word to carry with us, to open up, to read together, and even to hear it expounded. And Lord, we do acknowledge that this is a great privilege and a great liberty which we enjoy. And yet we have brethren and sisters right across the world this day under persecution in prison because of their faith, because of their love for Jesus Christ. Oh, that thou wilt be near to them, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt strengthen them, that they will know thy presence and the Holy Spirit upon them. Well, Lord, we do pray to thee at this time, even for our congregation. Lord, as we have gathered together, we do pray that every heart will be ready. And Lord, every heart will have that desire, that hunger even within them, to enjoy the presence of the Lord this day. We pray for hearts to be knit together in worship, for hearts to be knit together in praise this day of the one true and living God. Lord, remember us as we sing. Remember us as we read. And as we come to the preaching part of the service, we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt come and touch our lips and touch our hearts. Lord, we do thank thee for everyone that is here. We rejoice, O God, in each one that has been able to come this day for the measure of health and strength that thou hast afforded to them. And Lord, we just ask that thou wilt bless them and meet each one at the very point of their need. Lord, remember those that are yet unable to join. We do remember them at this time, and we remember our elderly that are unable, O God, to come to the house of the Lord anymore. Do remember and be with them, we pray thee. Remember our sister in the nursing home. Remember our brother Cairns as well. And Lord, for others, Lord, we just commit them all into thy hands. We pray that thou wilt bless them and be with them and undertake for their individual and particular needs. Lord, remember our land in these days. O God, we just lay it before thee. Lord, we cannot turn to any other, but we come to thee. We pray, O God, that thou wilt revive us. We pray, O God, that thou wilt first of all revive thy church, that thou wilt revive the preacher, that thou wilt revive those in the pew. Lord, that thou wilt work in our hearts, thou wilt warm our hearts, and thou wilt set us in fire, O God, at this time, that we will even burn brightly for Jesus Christ. Lord, we think of the efforts even in the week to come. We think of those online Bible clubs, both our own and as well the one of the mission board. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt see fit, even O God, to bless them and to use them. We thank thee that souls have been saved even already this year, both through online mission meetings and also online Bible clubs and children's meetings. And O God, we just pray that this will be another week of salvation. That right across our land, Roman Catholic, Protestant, and other religions alike, O God, that they from their own homes will be watching in and listening, that their hearts will be touched and open, and O God, that they will put their faith and trust in Christ. Lord, we just commit it all into thy hands. We commit our land, we commit the medical needs, we commit the social needs, we commit the individual physical and mental needs to thee in these days. Lord, we see much to lament and much to cry over even, O God, in our land. And yet thou art the one that can turn it all. Thou art the one that can breathe upon it. O God, that thou wilt come and that thou wilt work. Lord, remember each one of our ministers. We think of those on holiday that thou wilt refresh them and be with them. We think, O God, of those that are in the pulpit today. that thou wilt pour thy Spirit upon them, that they will know what it is to preach Christ in all of his fullness. Lord, remember each one. Remember our students and our licentiates as well. Bless them and be unto them all that they would need. Lord, remember our missionaries across the world. Keep them safe in these days. Lord, work out their individual circumstances. We think of those that are due to come home. Oh, that they will be able to get into the country safely once again. We think of those that are on the mission field, Lord, unable for any to join with them. Oh, Lord, strengthen them and encourage them and be unto them all that they would need. Lord, bless us, we pray. Do us good. Pour out thy Spirit even upon this gathering. May we know the presence of the Lord amongst us. May we know the speaking voice of the Lord even to each and to every one of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn 44 is our second hymn this morning, please. The hymn 44, the page is 193. Mighty God, while angels bless thee, may immortals sing thy name. Lord of men, as well of angels, thou art every creature's theme. The hymn 44, please. Stand once again. those high notes, I commend you. It's one reason I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm going to have a perfect voice. I'm going to be able to sing the praises and every note off them. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Psalms, please. So we continue reading through the Psalms together week by week. We come on our first Sunday back to Psalm 72. Psalm 72, entitled A Psalm for Solomon. Psalm 72 in the verse number 1, Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, he shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Amen. And may God write his own blessing upon the reading of his precious word. Our next hymn is the hymn 192. Hymn 192, the page is 253. And we're going to change our position once again. And we're just going to sing three verses. We're going to sing the verse 1, the verse 2, and the verse 3, please. Verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 192. Stand once again.
O Word of God incarnate, O wisdom from on high, O Word of Jesus Christ, O life of our Lord's time, we bring thee for the Amen.
Let's open our Bibles now, please, in the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 2. We're going to break into the reading near the end of the chapter, the verse 40. Luke chapter 2, the verse 40. Speaking here of the Lord Jesus, the Word of God says, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy mother and or thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Amen. And we look to the Lord once again for his blessing to be added to the reading of his word. It's the verse 41 primarily I want to direct your attention to this morning. The verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." I want to deal with the subject this morning and just give you a spoiler alert. This is a passage for this evening as well when we consider the topic Missing Christ. But this morning I want to deal with the subject Godly Parents. Godly Parents. Let's just have a moment's prayer, please, as we ask the Lord for his help. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, even as we've just been singing, for the great blessing that the Word of God is to us. It's there to lead us, it's there to guide us, it's there to bring us even closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray this morning as we come around it afresh, that thou wilt draw near, that thou wilt, O God, unstop the ears and open the hearts, and Lord, that thou wilt speak to each and to every one, that thou wilt encourage thy people, that thou wilt, O God, revive and draw again to thee the backslider. And Lord, those that are unsaved, that they will see their need of salvation. Lord, bless us even now and encourage us through thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to ask you, what do you know of the birth of Jesus Christ? I would like to think most, if not all of us, would be able to give quite a lot of detail in relation to his incarnation. Would be able to tell of how he was born in Bethlehem, of how he was laid in the manger in that little stable. You'd be able to speak of the angels appearing to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem and proclaiming the glorious message that Christ was born. You may even be able to add as well of the wise men coming at that later date and bearing the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, those three gifts which point to the three offices which Christ held, prophet, priest, and king. If I was to ask you about his 3 years of ministry, the age of 30 to 33, no doubt you could present, you could tell me about his wonderful miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, the raising up of the lepers, the lame, the raising up of the three individuals from death as well. If I was to ask you about his preaching, no doubt you'll be able to direct me to Matthew 5 through to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe his dialogue even with Nicodemus in those times when he spoke to the individuals as well as to the great congregations. You could talk about his prayer life, I'm sure, as well. The great climax of which was John 17, the high priestly prayer. If I was to ask you about the death of Christ, you would be able to tell me about his sufferings upon the cross. You'd be able to tell me about his agonies, the treatment at the hands of the Jews and of the Romans, and his cries even upon the cross, and his mercy, his grace that he extended even to the dying thief. You see, much has been recorded of his birth, of his ministry, and of his death. But for his childhood years, we just have this one occasion. For his entire childhood, from the age of 2 onwards, right until 12, we have nothing. And then from 12 until the age of 30, again, we have nothing. But we have this one instance, this one glimpse into the childhood and the younger years of the Lord Jesus upon this earth. You know, the Lord's childhood really is summed up in the verses 40 and 52. Because there it says, the verse 40, the child grew, he waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, the grace of God was upon him. That's the entire childhood of Christ summed up in just one verse. Or you could look as well at the verse 52. It repeats it again. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But this one instance that we've read together this morning, yes, it speaks much of the childhood of Christ. But I believe there's also a message here for every parent. I believe there's also a message here, even within the verse that we highlighted, the verse 41, of what a godly parent is to be. I want to look at it with you this morning. 3 points I want to leave with you as we consider godly parents. I want you to see, firstly, their adherence to God's word. Their adherence to God's word. The verse 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover." You know, to many, this verse is simply one to be skimmed over. If you come to the childhood of Christ, if you're just reading this passage together, you'll very quickly skim over this verse because you want to get to the real story, as it were, the real narrative that is given to us of how Christ was left behind as a child. Of how they had taken him to Jerusalem, and at the age of 12 they had abandoned him, they'd left him behind. To many, and for many, they will major upon that fact. And they'll highlight, oh, Joseph and Mary, they didn't even realize he was gone. And yet, so many will never pause to consider the teaching of verse 41. You see, verse 41 gives us an insight into the family home of Joseph and of Mary. It was a home that was grounded upon the Word of God. It was a home that was grounded upon the things of God. It was a home that loved the Lord. It was a home in which both the parents were saved and seeking to obey the Lord in their lives and seeking to instruct their children and to teach them off the things of God and off the Word of God. How do I know both parents were saved? Well, Matthew 1, verse 19 tells us, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph is described there in the book of Matthew by the Holy Spirit as being just. And certainly his actions are those of a just man. Joseph, even in his life, before he and Mary were brought together, they were at that time they were betrothed one to the other, and before they came together in marriage, yet he saw the importance of a Christian testimony. He saw the importance of that testimony both before the Lord and indeed before the community. Yes, he was betrothed. But when he discovered that Mary was with child, that she was pregnant, he realizes what people will say. He realizes what the community reaction will be. He realizes the damage that that will do even to his testimony and to the testimony of Christ in that area. That here was a man claiming that he was a Christian. Here was a man claiming that he was a child of God. And yet here he is and he's living in sin. And so he minded to put her away privily. In reality, what he's doing is implementing the words of which Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22, where he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. And yet, Joseph, even though he minded to put her away, he does it with love. He shows forth the love of Christ, for he was minded to put her away privily. He was a saved man. And Mary too, as a mother, Mary too was a saved woman. We have Luke 1 in the verse 46, where Mary, whenever she's visiting with Elizabeth, she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God. And listen to this next word, my Savior. You see, even just in that little phrase, in God my Savior, what's she confessing? Number one, she's confessing she's a sinner. Number two, she's confessing she needed a Savior. See, the Roman Catholics will teach you that Mary was sinlessly perfect. They will teach you that Mary never needed to be saved. And yet it tells us very clearly, Luke 1, God, my Savior. Do you know the best bit, even in the Roman Catholic Bible, the Douay Bible, it's exactly the same. It says, God, my Savior. Mary testified before Elizabeth, God's my Savior because I needed one. And here was Mary and Joseph together. That was the setting that the Lord Jesus was brought into and whenever he came into humanity. That was the scene and the setting that even the other half-brethren and sisters came into as well. It was a godly home where both the father and the mother loved the Lord. And it was a home as well where the Word of God was central. Because there in the verse 41, as we've read it together, it tells us now his parents went to Jerusalem. Notice the next words, every year. Every year. You see, Mary and Joseph together as the parents, as the husband and wife in that family, they knew and obeyed the Word of God. Deuteronomy 16, in the verse 16, it tells us the laws that was given to the Israelites at that time. Three times in a year shall all thy meals appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. In other words, the feast of Passover, Pentecost, and tabernacles. Three times in a year, they were told, you must appear in Jerusalem. You must come to that place that's going to be set aside for these feasts. Exodus 34:23, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God of Israel. And here Mary and Joseph, or Joseph and Mary, adhering to God's word and in turn teaching their children the importance of God's word as their rule of faith and practice. You see, to Joseph and Mary, the scriptures of the Old Testament, which was what they had at that time, was not simply a book of encouragement. The Old Testament scriptures was not simply a book of history. It was not simply to teach them about their ancestors and about the history of their nation. This was God's word. And they understood, number one, that it was infallible. It was a book without error. Not one mistake. Psalm 119, verse 60 says, thy word is true from the beginning. They understood not only that it was infallible, they understood that it was inspired. This book, as we know, is given by the inspiration of God. See, very important, Joseph and Mary understood the Old Testament, what they had, did not simply contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And my friend, there is a difference in that. There is a difference if you say that the Word of God, the Scriptures, only contains the Word of God. Then you're leaving it open that some parts of it are not actually God's Word.
But if you say that God, that the Scriptures, the Bible, the New Testament and the Old Testament is the Word of God, that means from Genesis 1 and verse 1 in the beginning right through until Revelation 22 and the verse 21, the last amen, you're saying that from the start right through to the finish, every single word is God's. Not man's. And because it's all God's Word, therefore we must obey it. Joseph and Mary, they built their home around that basis. They obeyed the word of the Lord themselves. They implemented the word of God in their lives in everything that the Scriptures taught them and everything that was given to them. They obeyed it, they followed it, they taught their children it, and they lived by it. I wonder today, parents, can that be said of you? Have you implemented, and even those that don't have parents or don't have children, have you implemented this in your life, that you live by the Word of God? That you adhere to it in everything that you do, wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, that you live by the Word of God? That it has free course in your life and only it? They adhered the Word. But then secondly, I want you to see also that they adored the worship. They adored the worship. Verse 41, it tells us, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. They attended the house of the Lord every time it was expected of them. And it's interesting to note, Mary goes too. Yes, we read Deuteronomy 16 and 16 and Exodus 34, 23, where both occasions it speaks about the men must go and the men must appear and the men must present themselves at the three times of the feast. But Mary goes too every single time. Just like Hannah. You remember 1 Samuel 1? Where was Hannah? She was with her husband in the temple. She had traveled with him, even though it wasn't expected of her, even though it wasn't asked of her according to the law. Yet Hannah went with her husband. So did Mary. You know what a wonderful foundation that is. Whenever the wife and the husband come together, they both love the Word of God. And they both love the worship of God. And in their lives together as Christians, they come and they encourage one another. Mary, even just by her presence at her husband's side, was encouraging him to go. She wasn't leaving him to make that journey on his own. She wasn't leaving him to take all of the offering and to do everything on his own. She went with him out of love for the worship and even to be that encouragement one for the other. Husbands and wives, let me encourage you to support each other and to encourage each other to come to the worship of God. You know, quite often the old man, as it were, comes into all of us. And it can be those nights whenever we just don't have that desire to come. Maybe we have had a rough day. Maybe we've had a rough week. And we just feel, couldn't face it. Husbands, encourage your wives. Wives, encourage your husbands. And as I said before, when in relation to children, you don't force the one to come. You don't force your grown-up children to the house of the Lord. You encourage them. And husbands, the best way to encourage your wives is by going yourself. And wives, the best way to encourage your husbands is by showing your desire and your going to the house of the Lord. Now it's noteworthy also that whenever their adoration for worship meant, what their obedience to God's word meant together, what it meant logistically, what it meant financially. You know, every time that they made that journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem, it meant stopping Joseph's work. Joseph had to set aside his work. Remember, what was he? He was a carpenter. And every time, by the way, he went from Nazareth to Jerusalem, he was setting aside his work. He was setting aside his income for at least 10 days. At least. And remember, they didn't have much money. Joseph was a carpenter by trade. Mary was a housewife. A housewife, and it was a poor home. Finances, money was in short supply. We know that by the offering which they brought to the temple when Christ was born. Luke 2:24. They only were able to bring a pair of turtle doves. They couldn't afford a lamb. And the turtle doves in the law was set aside for those of poor standards and those with poor income that they still had an offering to bring. And yet even though attending those feasts meant no work, no money, coming in for that time, yet they went. And logistically it meant, remember this, I believe at this stage, whenever we're reading together that Christ was 12 years old, I believe that at the very least, it meant Mary and Joseph were bringing 7 children with them. Because it speaks of Christ or the family of Joseph and Mary, Matthew 13, verse 55, it speaks of having 4 half-brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and then it also speaks about their sisters in the plurality. So if you count that, there's 4 other boys, there's at least 2 girls, there's the Lord Jesus in his childhood years, and there's Mary and Joseph, and they made the journey together. Now, I struggle sometimes to get 2 boys out of. And I'm thankful I have a wife to help me. But here was a family with at least 7 children. 7. And they were going to walk from Nazareth to Jerusalem to go to God's house. And they did it faithfully every single even when the children were young. And even though in those childhood years, as all children are, whenever you have babies in the house, sleep is at a premium. Yet Mary and Joseph faithfully every year went. I believe there's a wonderful lesson in that for us all, isn't there? They adored the worship of the Lord so much that whenever the opportunities arose to be in the house of the Lord, regardless of how they felt, regardless of what it cost them financially, regardless of what it cost them in terms of their own peace of mind, gathering and bringing 7 children with them, yet they went. They adhered to the worship, or to the word. They adored the worship. But thirdly and finally, I want you to see the acceptance of their witness. The acceptance of their witness. Do you see the influence that Joseph and Mary had upon their children? In the verse 40, it tells us the child grew, waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, the grace of God was upon him. In the verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now you might say, oh, but Christ is God. And of course he was going to grow. Of course he was going to be perfect. Yes, he was God. But remember this, never forget his humanity. We believe he is truly God, 100%. And yet, at the same time, for our salvation and for the doctrine of salvation, he had to be fully man. He had to be fully man from the moment of his conception. And from that time right through, he was fully man. And so as a young boy, he was still in the family home. And as a young boy, would still be watching and seeing his parents. And here in his childhood years, he grew up under a godly example and influence, where the word of God was central and the worship of God was there. But we can even look past as well the Lord Jesus Christ. We can think of the other half-brethren. Acts chapter 1 to verse 14, whenever the New Testament church gathered for the first time to pray, tells us that all of the disciples that were there gathered together. And in Acts 1:14 it says, "These all continued in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Now, according to Scripture, it's believed that it wasn't until after Christ's death and resurrection from the dead that the sons of Mary, his half-brethren, came to faith in Christ. Because John 7, verse 5, it tells us, "Neither did his brethren believe in him." And yet after his death upon the cross and his resurrection from the dead, they came to faith in Christ. And here's the first time that they can gather to the house of the Lord. And of course, the veil has now been rent in twain. The old way of worship has now changed. And now they're gathering to pray. And because of the example of the parents, guess where the boys are? They're in the house. How did they know that they needed to go to God's house? How did they know that it was important to gather with those of like precious faith? Why was it that that desire was placed in their hearts? Where did the understanding come from of the importance of worship? It came from the parents. Because those young boys, as they grew up every single year, had to walk the road to Jerusalem. And after Christ's death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, they gathered to pray and they saw their mother walking. They said, "We're going with her." Brothers and sisters, never underestimate the influence that your testimony and your actions have upon your children. Regardless if they're still in the home, are growing up. Never underestimate the impact that that has upon your child, even in their adult years. That every single Sunday morning, Sunday evening, when the opportunities are there, that they know you're not going to be at home, you're going to be in the house of God. That every single prayer meeting night, your children see that you're putting the place of prayer first. Now, I know there can be work commitments at times. I was the same before I came into the ministry. There were many times my work took me down into the south of Ireland from Monday until Friday. But see the occasions when we were home together. And before we had children and even after we had children, there was always a desire, one, to get to the house of the Lord. That the children knew as they grew up in the house that mum, dad, prayer meeting night, at least one of them is going to be gone. And they're going to be praying. That the children know and they understand that even if they're saved, they understand. Mum and dad's always put that importance upon God's house and upon God's worship. That the children even know every day that their mother and their father, they know what it is to open the Bible in the home. That the decisions that they make as parents, that the places that they allow their children to go, the places that they allow their children not to, or they ban their children from going to, they're based on those decisions upon the Word of God. That we don't just simply say no to our children and we just explain to our children rather that you cannot go to certain places. Why? Because God's Word prohibits it, speaks against it. We teach them and we show them, we bring them up in the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. Let me encourage you, parents and adults, and even those that have influence over children, show them by your life and your words, your actions. Show them the importance of God's Word in your life. Show them the importance of God's worship in your life. That then, whenever your children, they're not saved, that you constantly testify to them and show them what the Lord means to you. If the Lord be pleased to save them, that they'll see even from your testimony, from your influence, of how important the Lord is to you. Oh, I trust and pray that in our lives that we will be godly influences. That those of us that have children, that we will be godly parents before them. That we will know what it is to follow God's word. That when our children grow up, they'll be able to testify, number one, Mom and Dad love the Lord. They love His word. They love His house. You know, it's a wonderful testimony for a child to have of a parent. That they can say, Mom and Dad, they just love it and they obey and they follow the Lord with all of their heart. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O God, for Thy word afresh. We thank Thee even for what we can glean. At times there are verses we look at and we skim over them, and yet, Lord, when we dig into them, Lord, what even doctrine and golden nuggets are found within them that we can even glean and apply to our own lives. Lord, we pray as parents, as individuals, that we will have a love for Thy word. We will have a love for Thy worship. That Thy word will be key, that we will ever put the Lord first in our lives. Oh Father, we pray that Thou wilt speak even through Thy word and encourage us to be those shining lights even in our time, in our generation, in our community. Oh Lord, bless us, we pray. Do us good. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us. Remember the evening broadcast. We pray for Thy hand and Thy blessing to be upon it. And even these children's meetings, the Bible clubs throughout the week. Oh Lord, may we return next Sunday giving Thee all of the praise and the glory for what Thou hast done. Lord, be with us and bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen.